We turn now to Desiree Hellegers with audio from the recent Homeless Persons Memorial Day vigil and a report on the real life and death stakes in the upcoming city council vote on a $22.5 million 5-year contract to sweep the city's houseless encampments.
My name is John Mayer. I used to help run the Sunnyside Community House, partnering with Pat Schweibert. I was just telling about my friend Debbie Beaver. She passed away in July. She'd been living in a tent with her husband of 27 years. Earlier in 2019, she'd had a hip surgery where she was released back onto the street. And she was never very far away from the community house. And grateful to come inside and grab a couch, and also just a feisty, wonderful, strong woman. But she couldn't walk very well for the last few months, so she stayed put. In the middle of July, there were a bunch of campers on a fence line near the school there, and they were swept in the middle of July, and she lost all of her meds that day. She was on a series of 8 or 9 medications, pain, mental health, diabetes, an antidepressant, but she lived her last days without them because they couldn't get them back for those 10 days. Apparently, there's a rule that you can come back and sweep again without notice if you've swept within 10 days that area, so they don't have to give that 48-hour warning. So that happened on the 24th of July. Rapid response came. Debbie was the only person there, but she was in her tent. The folks at Rapid Response noted her as deceased and did not attempt to revive her. There was no ambulance. And they declared that she had been dead for some number of hours, but what I know is it had been an hour or...
So we're literally sweeping people as they're dying now.
Yep, that's what happened. And then at the end of the evening, she was disappeared into a police car, and all the police disappeared at once, and nobody said anything to anybody. I think it was a van that they put her in, like an unmarked van. Everybody just drove away at once, and then Rapid Response was still there, and they finished their sweep. Debbie's husband, Scott, had not been present, and he came just as Rapid Response was about to pull away and saw all of his stuff there on the truck. So his attention and emotions went to needing his things. And then I had to be the one to tell him that his wife had just died, and while I was doing that, Rapid Response left.
With his belongings?
Yes, yeah. Luckily, we were having dinner that night, so he came in, got a shower. We were able to stay with him through the evening and get him basic gear. But we learned that her body was at the Clackamas Medical Examiner. We asked if we could come see. You know, Scott wanted to see Debbie, and we were not allowed.
Why wasn't he even called to identify her?
I don't know why. He was never allowed to see her body after she died. So the last time he saw her was alive when he had left that morning. The way he was treated to not get information easily, he needed to chase it all, which meant that, you know, I partnered with him and we got what we needed, but it took a lot. So we did a fundraiser for him and for her.
Because otherwise they would have kept her remains.
In Oregon, yeah, you don't have a right to remains if you're the next of kin. Somebody has to pay for both the transportation and then the processing of the remains. And so we found somebody who could do that, and we asked our neighbors, and we're able to fund it. But it costs about $800, $850 for, like, the cheapest version of transportation and a box of ashes. But that meant a lot to Scott, I believe.
I spoke briefly with Debbie's husband, Scott Rupp.
How have you been doing?
Been okay. Just lost. You know, I've been with her 37 years, and I don't know now, you know, it's just... July 16th, they came by and swept her camp and took everything we owned. She kept all her stuff in a rollaway cart with all her clothes and stuff like that, and all her medication. And I wasn't able to get anything back till July 28th. She'd already passed away July 24th, though. She was a person. She's a human being. She was my wife, man. She was somebody. It's Debbie Beaver, Debbie Ann Beaver.
I spoke with vigil organizer Sandra Comstock about the sweeps.
If people are complaining about bio waste, people are complaining about trash, let's have trash pickup like house people get. Let's have places for people to use the bathroom, and let's have places where people can sleep so that they're not in the quote-unquote right of way.
Let's have universal housing.
Exactly.
At the December 19th City Council meeting, a vote on the 5-year, $22.5 million new contract to sweep Portland's encampments was tabled. On December 20th, an ad hoc coalition calling itself Stop the Sweeps PDX held a press conference in front of City Hall with groups like Street Roots and Sisters of the Road calling for a moratorium on the sweeps until the entire sweeps cleanup process can be reexamined. Take a few minutes today to call the mayor's office at 503-823-4120 and tell them to stop the sweeps. Sweeps endanger the lives of countless chronically ill and medically fragile houseless people in our midst, depriving them of life-saving medications and medical devices they are routinely unable to retrieve. While Debbie was only one of some 82 people who died houseless in the City of Roses this year, her death arguably marks a new low, one in which the dead or dying can be swept away along with their tents, and one in which indigent people are routinely forced to pay ransom to access the mortal remains of their loved ones. Under the auspices of the Oregon Indigent Remains Program, which I'll be doing a follow-up segment on, this segment is dedicated to the memory of Debbie Ann Beaver. This has been Desiree Helligers for the Old Mall Variety Hour.
That was a snippet of Mozart's Requiem in D. And before that, Desiree Helligers with a segment in honor of the memory of Debbie Ann Beaver, one of the more than 80 houseless people to die this past year on the streets of Portland.